Can you beat an algorithm when you don't know exactly how it works? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Preparing to make a major purchase or take out a loan often means doing whatever you can to improve your credit score. Or scores, really, because most of us have several. As we've been covering in our credit score series that we're finishing up today, those numbers will help determine what interest rate you pay and whether you get credit at all. So what do? Pay off old debt, get your credit limit raised, spread your debt around? What we're doing with these moves is basically trying to game the algorithms behind credit scores. Amber Miller, a certified financial planner in Minneapolis, enjoys the challenge. I caught up with Miller and her husband during their beach vacation with their 11-month-old baby. She keeps tabs on her credit scores, mainly just out of curiosity.
At this point, it's, oh my gosh, if it's under 800, if then I'm like, what is going on, right? Because now I feel like I've tried to figure out the system, worked the system to get it to be perfect.
And she has tried to work the system. Miller had a general idea of what yields a good credit score, and yet she and her husband noticed their scores kept dropping, like by 10 or 20 points at a time. But she thought they were doing everything right, never used all their available credit.
We always paid our credit cards off in full every single month by the due date or before, and I didn't understand why then the score would ever go down.
So Miller tried an experiment. She changed how often she paid her credit card bills, from once a month to twice a month, and then...
So the most frequently I ever paid off the credit cards was weekly. It did absolutely jump our credit. I mean, like every week it would go up 10 points for each of us.
Miller guessed that was because the credit bureaus check her accounts several times a month. Still, this is all guesswork. Credit scoring companies give broad outlines to their calculations, a certain percentage attributed to credit history, a chunk to the types of credit you have, or how long you've had credit. David Silberman is a senior fellow at the Center for Responsible Lending.
But precisely what credit history means and how it's scored, or what types of credit means and how it's scored, that's all black box.
Nevertheless, there's a whole industry promising easy fixes to improve credit scores, from credit reporting bureaus,
boost your credit scores today,
to an endless supply of YouTube videos offering tips.
This is about your credit and some easy ways to instantly boost up your score.
I'm going to show you 5 ways to blow up your credit score in the next 30 days.
But credit scoring companies, they know all the tricks and regularly update their models. Ethan Dornhelm is a vice president in FICO's Scores and Predictive Analytics Department.
A practice that became pretty popular a little over a decade ago was this notion of authorized user piggybacking, where people would basically rent out their sparkling credit card account. And for a fee, they would add people as an authorized user on their account,
thus boosting that second person's credit score. So FICO ran the numbers.
And what we ultimately concluded was actually that authorized user information wasn't as directly related to whether someone was going to pay future bills as agreed.
So in one of the company's newer versions, FICO tweaked that algorithm. But not all changes are so obvious. Credit scoring companies like to keep the finer details of their algorithms close to the chest, you know, for competitive advantage. But that leaves a lot of people guessing or listening to people giving bad credit score advice, says the Center for Responsible Lending's David Silberman.
I think some folks who try may actually misunderstand what counts as good and what counts as bad. So they may actually do things which have the exact opposite effect from what they're intending.
And the consequences of getting it wrong can be severe. Safia Noble, a professor at UCLA, has written extensively about the role of algorithms in our lives. She gives the example of someone who has a bad credit score and no dental insurance. Let's say you need an emergency root canal.
If you don't have dental care and you have to finance that, right, a visit to the dentist on some type of dental credit card or credit system,
Many dentists and other specialists will offer monthly payment plans or loans to cover services. So now you're in pain and about to be in debt. But if you have bad credit, in our healthcare system, you might just go without treatment.
Having good credit or not good credit should not determine like your health and your well-being and your ability to see a dentist and other kinds of specialists.
One of many reasons some consumers pay for monthly subscriptions to stay on top of their credit scores or try to improve them.
What else?
Amber Miller uses the free version of Credit Karma to track her scores, which she says started dropping again when she backed off her experimental weekly payments.
I guess in some way I was trying to game the system, but I was just trying to see what would work.
And now that she knows, or at least thinks she knows, she's a little frustrated because without her experiment of paying off her cards weekly, she would have been stuck with a lower score.
It feels unfair. You know, if it's a computer algorithm, it doesn't have this overlay of a human saying, this is the same end, right? Like you pay it off in full monthly versus four times a month because there's 4 weeks.
At the same time, she says she's fortunate. Right now, she's not trying to buy a car or house or get a loan or anything.
Day in and day out, I'm not sure that the score itself matters other than maybe my ego. but that when I want to use it, I want to make sure that number's high.
And knowing a bit more about how the algorithm behind the number works is another tool to play the game and try to get the top score. And now for some related links. Figuring out the general features of credit scoring algorithms doesn't require the kind of intense experiments that Miller did. She was spending like 45 minutes a week on that project, but she says it's kind of fun for her. Credit scoring companies VantageScore and FICO have a ton of resources on their sites about how their algorithms work and steps you can take to improve your own score or build credit if you don't have it. We'll have links on our website, marketplacetech.org. But really, the biggest thing is paying your bills on time. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has a whole section of its website dedicated to credit scores and credit reports, including the differences between the two. We'll link to that site, which also has information about rights related to your scores, your reports, and your privacy. And for more on your rights specifically, we'll also link to a summary of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which lays out what you can legally do about problems with your score. Finally, we'll have the rest of our series on credit scoring algorithms, which we're wrapping up today, on our site as well. Thank you so much to everyone who shared their credit score stories with us. Good luck with your numbers. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.